This week's Parsha is Parsha's Vayechi, and we will start with chapter 49, Pasuk number 1. There, the Pasuk says, Vayikro Yaakov el Bonov, Yaakov called to his sons, Vayomer he says, Heosfu, assemble, Vagidolochem, and I will tell you, Eis asher ikro eschem, what will happen to you, Ba'achris ayomim, in the end of days. The next pasuk says, Hikovtsu, gather yourself, Veshimu, and listen, Bnei Yaakov, children of Yaakov, Veshimu, and listen, El Israel Avichem, to Israel, your father. These two pasukim seems to be redundant, because the first pasuk says that Yaakov already called his son and told him to gather, and I will tell you what is going to happen in the end of days. And the second pasuk says again, gather yourself and listen, children of Yaakov, and listen to Israel, your fathers. So this pasuk seems to be totally redundant. Rashi explains that originally when Yaakov gathered the children, he wanted to tell them what is going to happen ba'achris hayomim, in the end of days. Rashi says, Bikesh legalos es haketz, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children the Kates. Literal translation of the word Kates means the end. Exactly what the end means, the end of what, we'll soon try to explain. But Yaakov wanted to reveal the end. Venistalko Shechina Mimenu, and the Shechina was removed for him, therefore he could not give us the prediction about the Kates. Rashi continues, because of that, Vehishil Omer Dvarim Acherim, and he started saying other things, meaning that the first part of the pasuk where it says, Vayikro Yaakov El Bonov, Yaakov called his children and told them, gather and I'll tell you what is going to happen to you in the end of days, it was Yaakov's desire to reveal to his children the Kates, the end. But Hashem removed his Shechina from him, therefore, he couldn't predict anymore about the Kates, and he started saying other things, basically giving blessings for other times. Therefore, in the second pasuk is where it's talking about the blessings. Vikovsu v'shimu bnei Yaakov, gather all children of Yaakov, v'shimu l'Israel avichem, and listen to Israel, your father. We have to understand, first of all, what is the Kates that Yaakov wanted to reveal, meaning what end is Yaakov trying to reveal? And we have to understand why Hashem removed the Shechina that he shouldn't be able to reveal. And also we have to understand if Yaakov eventually did not reveal to us the Kates, why is it important for the Torah to write down that Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates but he didn't reveal? The Torah could have just skipped the first pasuk since it never happened, and I wouldn't know that Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates since eventually he does not reveal it. He does not reveal the end. Then why is it important that we know that Yaakov wanted to reveal and Hashem did not want us to know or didn't want them to reveal about the end? The first interpretation we are going to give for the word Kates is the end of times, meaning that Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to us about the time of the coming of the Moshiach, and the Shechina left him. And my Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Israel Yudah Leibovich Zatzal, the Vilna Rav, explains that when Yaakov Avinu was looking at the time of Moshiach, he saw how many troubles are going to befall the Jewish people, that there is going to be a Holocaust, and he was able to see all the atrocities that the Germans, Yamach Shemam, did to us. And when Yaakov was able to see the suffering of the Jews, Yaakov Avinu got depressed and sad, and as a consequence of his sadness, the Shechina left him. Because the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis 30b says that the Shechina does not rest on a person only if the person is happy, joyous, and good spirit. But if the person is sad, then the Shechina does not rest on him. And since Yaakov became depressed and sad of what he saw at the end of days, therefore the Shekhinah left him and he couldn't reveal to us exactly what is going to happen at the time of Mashiach. And the Vinerov says that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, showed to Yaakov Avinu before his death everything that's going to happen to his children in every generation up to the days of Mashiach, and he saw the destruction of the two Beis HaMikdash and all the galus, all the exiles and all the troubles that's going to befall the Jewish people, and he was sad, but he was not as sad to cause the Shekhinah to leave him until he saw the Kates, until he saw the time of Mashiach, what happened in our times, which is the times of Mashiach, that caused Yaakovinu extreme sadness, and then he could not have the Shekhinah anymore, therefore he couldn't disclose to us exactly when the Mashiach is going to come. And what the Vinerov says, that Hashem disclosed to Yaakovinu everything that's going to happen, it's actually a Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar Perek Yud Gimel Siman Yud Dalet. There the Medrash says, Vayomesoires Bayat Shevet Yehuda, there was a tradition in the hands of Shevet Yehuda, Chachameyam, their wise people, Gedoleyam, and the leaders, Min Yaakov Avinu, from Yaakov, Kol Ma Shoset Lere the Chol Shevet, Ve'ad Yemois HaMashiach, whatever is going to happen to that tribe, up to the days of Mashiach. Vechen hoyo bayat kol shevet v'shevet mesoires. It was also a tradition in the hand of each tribe, meaning that each of the 12 tribes had a tradition. Kol ma sheyoreloi, whatever is going to happen to that tribe, ad yemois haMashiach min Yaakov Avinu. All the way from Yaakov Avinu until the time of Mashiach, there was a tradition what is going to happen to each tribe. He says that even though they had this tradition because Yaakov was able to give them this nevuah, but when it came at the actual time of the Kates, the actual time of Mashiach's coming, Yaakov Avinu saw the troubles that's going to befall the Jewish people at that time. That caused them extreme sadness. Once he got sad, he couldn't have the Shekhinah, and therefore he could not reveal to us the Kates, the time of Mashiach. There is other reasons why Hashem did not want that Yaakov should reveal the time of Mashiach. And that could be the same reason as the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis 97b, says, Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Omar Rabbi Yonason, that Rabbi Shmuel Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Tipach Atzma Shamachash Vekitzin, may the bones of those who calculate the time of Mashiach suffer great agony. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamet Alva Medalev in Ksubas, Daf Kof Hei 105b, says that Tipach Nafshon Shal Machash Vekitzim, that let the souls of those who calculate the time of Mashiach suffer great agony. We see from here that we're not allowed to disclose the time of Mashiach. And the Ramban asks a question. We know that a lot of rabbis, a lot of people in later generations disclosed or estimated the time of Mashiach. How can they do that when there is an explicit curse for those who do that? The Ramban answers that the rabbis, seeing the destruction of the temple and knowing that the redemption was still going to be so far off, they forbade that anybody should investigate the time of the Mashiach in order not to discourage the people with the length of the bitter exile, meaning people going to know that for another 2,000 years Mashiach is not going to come, they are going to be so discouraged that they will give up hope. So in order to maintain the hope and the spirit of the people, the rabbis said that you should not disclose about the time of Mashiach. Like that, the people will not get discouraged. But the Ramban says that in his times, which was 1200 years after the destruction of the temple, that curse is no longer applicable. Therefore, the Ramban says that people in his generation could already predict when the Moshiach is going to come, and actually they did so. But according to this, we could say that Hashem didn't want Yaakov Avinu to disclose to us when Moshiach is going to come, because since it was going to be so far off, meaning that Yaakov Avinu was going to disclose to his children exactly the time that Moshiach is going to come, and that is going to be at least many thousands years from that date, then Yaakov would have caused that the Jewish people should become discouraged, because anybody born thousands of years before the Moshiach will come, he will get discouraged. In order to prevent that discouragement, Hashem told Yaakov, please do not disclose when Moshiach is going to come. Like that, the Jewish spirit is going to be high, and people won't be discouraged by the lengthy time until the time of the full redemption, until the time of Moshiach. We could say another reason of why Hashem doesn't want for anybody to disclose exactly when the Moshiach is going to come. And the reason why Hashem would do that is because Hashem doesn't want our pain to be increased. Meaning, for example, if you had a job, you're going to work in a place that mistreated you, that caused you anguish, that was very demeaning to you, but you knew that this work will only last for a couple weeks, and after that time you'll get the perfect job, the job that you always dreamt of, the job that will give you total fulfillment, then not only are you able to tolerate your job the way it is now, but you are actually happy every time you leave the job, every time you got some of the mistreatment, you are happy that that mistreatment is over, and you are closer to the time that you are going to get the new job. But if you didn't know that you have a job waiting for you after a couple weeks, then you're actually suffering and you're actually demeaning, even though they were the same as in the other situation. But now, since you don't have a new job, there is no end in sight, then the suffering becomes enhanced and you are not able to tolerate it. Meaning that even though you have the same amount of physical suffering, but if you psychologically know that this is going to end soon, you are able to tolerate easier the physical suffering. But if you don't know exactly when the time is going to end, then you aren't able to tolerate that physical suffering as well, and the physical suffering seems enhanced. Therefore, the Moshiach, the redemption, could only be when the world is in a certain stage of purity, and in order to get to that stage of purity, Hashem gives us pains and suffering in order to expiate our sins or the sins of the world in order to get to a certain point. Had we known exactly when Moshiach is going to come, then our suffering would have not been as strong. As in the example, when the person knows that his job is ending and he's going to get the perfect job, then his suffering is diminished. And Hashem, in order to make the Moshiach come in that time, would have to increase our suffering in order to expiate what needs to be expiated in order to get to the time of Moshiach. Meaning that since if you know exactly when the pain is going to end, your suffering is diminished, then in order to expiate what needed to be expiated by those sins, through this suffering would have to be enhanced, because now you don't feel as much pain as you did before. Therefore, Hashem asks, please do not disclose when Moshiach will come. Like that, Hashem is able to give us regular pain, And those pains will expiate the world in order to make it a clean world for the coming of Moshiach. And Hashem won't have to increase the pain in order to cleanse as much as he wanted before. Since now we don't know when the Moshiach is going to come, we are like in the example a person who doesn't know when the bad job is going to end, which his pain is now very strong. Like that, the people suffering the way they are, the way we are now, is enough to cause the coming of the Moshiach. Therefore, Hashem asks that Yaakov do not disclose when the Moshiach is going to come in order not to cause additional suffering amongst the Jewish people. Both these answers could be why Hashem made it a point to tell us that Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell us when the time of Moshiach is, but Hashem asked them, please do not do that, or Hashem prevented them from doing it, in order for us to learn, no generations, that we are not allowed to tell the people when the Moshiach is supposed to come. The other answer is brought down by the Sadigere Rebbe, where the Sadigere Rebbe is discussing the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Ches Omed Aleph 98a, where there the Gemara is discussing the Pasuk in Yeshaya, chapter 60, Prasuk number 22, where he says, Ani Hashem be'ito achishena, I am Hashem, in its time I will hasten it, meaning that the coming of the Moshiach is going to come in its time and Hashem will hasten it. Omar Rab Alexandre, Rab Alexandre says, Rab Shua ben Levi Rami, Rab Shua ben Levi asks a contradiction, that the Pasuk himself seems to contradict. Ksiv be'ito, it's written that the Moshiach, the redemption, will be in its preordained time. Uksiv achishena, and it's written that Hashem will hasten, meaning that Hashem will make the coming of the Moshiach come before its preordained time. So how is that possible? The Gemara answers, Zachu, if the Jewish people are deserving, if they merit, then achishena, then Hashem will hasten the coming of Moshiach, we're able to make Moshiach come before its ordained time. Loi Zachu, if they did not merit, then Be'ito, then Hashem makes the Moshiach come only in its proper time. In other words, there is a preordained time when the Moshiach is going to come, regardless how we behave, but we are able to hasten the coming of the Moshiach through our own merits, either by repenting or by doing good deeds. Says the Sadigere Rebbe, that if Yaakov Avinu would have disclosed the time of the coming of Moshiach, he cannot disclose the time that we will hasten, since it's written, Hakol bidei shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, chutz meira shamayim, but fear of heaven, meaning the way that we behave, it's up to us, and Hashem allows us to exercise our free will to repent or not repent, then consequently, we cannot predict when the Jewish people are going to do good deeds or when they are going to have merits. Then the time that Hashem will hasten the coming of the Moshiach, it is not yet decided. It will all depend on how we are going to behave. If we behave exceedingly well, then Hashem will hasten the Moshiach even more. If we do not behave so well, or we don't repent as much for our sins, then Hashem will hasten less the coming of the Moshiach. And if we are evil, then Hashem will make the Moshiach come in its predetermined time. Obviously then, if Yaakov is going to disclose a time when the redemption is going to be, Yaakov can't disclose the redemption that is dependent on us doing tshuva, because that redemption is not yet determined. Yaakov could only disclose the maximum preordained time that the Moshiach is supposed to come. But by Yaakov disclosing that time to his children, Yaakov is implying that the Jewish people aren't going to do tshuva. The Jewish people aren't going to repent, and they are not going to have merits. Because if they have merits, then the time that Yaakov disclosed is the wrong time. Since Yaakov is going to disclose a time where the Jewish people do not do tshuva, meaning the maximum preordained time that Moshiach is supposed to come, then Yaakov is alluding a Lashon Hara, derogatory remark on the Jewish people. Because Yaakov is saying in a way that the Jewish people aren't going to repent and Moshiach will only come at its predetermined time. Therefore, Hashem says, you want to use my prophecy in order to say a derogatory remark, in order to imply something derogatory on my children, the Jewish people, for that I will not give you my divine prophecy. Therefore, Hashem removed from Yaakov his divine prophecy, and Yaakov cannot disclose when the redemption, when the Moshiach is going to come. Meaning that since Yaakov could only disclose the time that's predetermined, and that time precludes the Jewish people from repenting or having good deeds in order to hasten it, Hashem says, I do not want you to disclose at all when Moshiach is going to come, and I don't want you to use my divine prophecy in order to imply something derogatory about the Jewish people. We see from the Sadagari Rebbe how much Hashem loves us and how Hashem doesn't even allow an implication of a derogatory remark against the Jewish people. I wanted to use this idea to answer why the Meraglim were punished and why Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for hitting the rock. We'll first start with the story of the Meraglim, which is in Parshas Shelach, chapter 13. And there, the first Rashi on the Parsha, on Pasuk number 2, says, why is the Parsha of the Meraglim, why is the portion of the spies written right after the story of Miriam speaking derogatory against Moshe? Rashi says that the spies should have learned from the story of Miriam and not spoken Lashon Hara, not spoken derogatory remarks, meaning that they saw that Miriam was punished for speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu. Those spies should have learned the consequence when you say derogatory remarks, and since they didn't take heed, they were punished for speaking bad against the land of Israel. The questions Mefarshim ask is, how can you expect the spies to learn from Miriam speaking bad against Moshe Rabbeinu that they are not allowed to speak bad about the land of Israel? Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu is a person, a human being, and he has feelings. Could be that Hashem punished Miriam because she is hurting Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings. Therefore, Miriam is punished. But the land of Israel is just a land. A land has no feelings. Could be if you speak badly, you give derogatory remarks on the land of Israel, then you are not punished because that is not saying speaking Lashon Hara. True, there are many answers on that question, but I will try to suggest one answer. Another question that is bothered the Mefarshim is, how can the Meraglim, the spies, we were such holy people when they left, as Rashi testifies, that they were righteous, upright people in that time, say such bad things about the land of Eretz Israel and cause the Jewish people not to go into the land? Mefarshim answer that this is exactly the intention of the Meraglim of the spies, meaning that the Meraglim knew that while they outside of Israel, they are being fed by the manna, they drink the water of the well of Miriam, and they are being surrounded by the clouds of glory, meaning they have shelter, they have food, and they have water, and they are learning Torah day and night. The Meraglim knew that if they give a good report on the land of Israel, then we will go right away to the land of Israel. And once we go to the land of Israel, each tribe and each person is going to get his portion. Once every person gets his portion, then each person is involved in planting, in pruning, in his vineyard, with his fig tree. People will not learn Torah. Therefore, the Meraglim decided that they are going to give evil reports on the land of Israel. Like that, the people won't go to the land of Israel. They will stay outside in the desert under the protection of Hashem, and they'll be able to learn Torah for a long time until the Torah becomes absorbed into their system, into their body, and then they'll be able to go in to the land of Israel. The question is, if that is what they intended, why were they punished? And specifically, according to the Divrei Yoel, it's even stronger. How come they were punished? Because the Divrei Yoel, in the beginning of Parshas Beshalach, which is Shmos, chapter 13, pasuk number 17, where it says, "Vayi Beshalach Paro Yasa'am." It was when Paro sent out the Jewish people, "V'lo'enochem Elokim," and Hashem did not lead them derech Eretz Plishtin, through the land of Plishtin, ki korev hu, because the land of Plishtin is too near, meaning normally, korev means geographically near, meaning that the shortest way from Egypt to the land of Israel is through the land of Plishtim. The Divrei Yoel, Satmar Rebbe, says that ki korev hu is not geographically, it's time-wise. It's too soon to go to Eretz Yisrael, meaning that Hashem knew that if we go into directly to Eretz Yisrael, each person is going to get involved in his vineyard and his fig tree. Hashem wanted the Jewish people to go and stay in the desert for 40 years in order for the Torah to be absorbed in their body and only after to go into Eretz Yisrael. Meaning exactly as the Meraglim thought, that is what the Satmar Rebbe says, Hashem wanted to happen. That Hashem didn't want the Jewish people to go into directly towards Israel, because if the Jewish people go in directly towards Israel after receiving the Torah, they won't have the practice, they won't have the proper observance, because they didn't dwell with the Torah for 40 years without any worry of sustenance. Therefore, Hashem kept them in the desert for 40 years. According to what we mentioned, this is exactly why the spies didn't want to go into Eretz Israel. Then, according to the Divrei Yoel, according to Satmar Rebbe, why were the spies punished if they did exactly what Hashem wanted to do? I wanted to answer this question based on the Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Daf Lamed Hei Omed Beis 35b. There the Gemara brings a contradiction in Psukim. One Pasuk says that you are going to have to work for a living, and the other Pasuk seems to imply that work will be done for you for a living. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai answers that depends. Bizman sheYisrael oisim retzonei shel makom, if the Jewish people are doing the will of Hashem, then melachto nases al yedei acherim. Hashem makes it that other people should do their work, meaning that other people will do the work and they will be busy learning Torah. But ubizman she'ein Yisrael oisim retzonei shel makom, but when the time that the Jewish people do not do the will of Hashem, meaning they're not behaving properly, then melachtom nases al dayatzmon, they themselves are going to have to work. I wanted to say, then according to this, we could answer very easily. Hashem knows that the Jewish people are not worthy. Therefore, Hashem knows that if we are going to go to Eretz Yisrael, then we aren't going to behave properly. And if we don't behave properly, then we require to work in the fields ourselves. Hashem knows that then each person is going to be busy with his vineyard and his fig tree, and he won't be able to learn Torah. Therefore, Hashem, in His kindness, left us outside of Eretz Yisrael for 40 years in order for the Torah to be absorbed in our system. Like that, when we go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll be able to perform it in an easier way. But the Meraglim don't know how the Jewish people are going to behave. But them deciding that we don't want the Jewish people to go into Eretz Yisrael, because if they go into Eretz Yisrael, they will start to work each one in his vineyard and his fig tree, then the Meraglim are implying that the Jewish people aren't going to do the will of Hashem. Because if the Jewish people do the will of Hashem, even when they go into Eretz Yisrael and get land, still melachtom nasas al yedei acherim, their work will be done by other people. They themselves won't have to go to work. They could still learn Torah all day, even though they're in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, by the Meraglim assuming that the Jewish people aren't going to do the will of Hashem and they will have to work, that's tantamount of them saying Lashon Hara on the Jewish people, because they are implying that the Jewish people have to stay outside of Eretz Yisrael in order to be able to devote their whole time to learn Torah. That if they go into Eretz Yisrael, they won't be able to learn Torah because they'll be busy making a living. But if we do the will of Hashem, then we are able to learn Torah even though in Eretz Yisrael, and we don't have to worry about making a living because Hashem will supply the living through others. Therefore, the Meraglim really were saying Lashon Hara on the Jewish people. They weren't saying Lashon Hara on the land. They were actually saying on the people. They were implying that the people aren't going to behave properly and they will have to work the fields and they won't have time to learn Torah. And that you're not allowed to speak against the totality of the Jewish people, they should have definitely learned from Miriam, that Miriam spoke only against Moshe Rabbeinu and she was punished. So much more if you're speaking about the totality of the Jewish people, you're implying that they are going to misbehave and they will have to work for a living and they won't have time to learn Torah. That's the Lashon Hara. Therefore, they were punished. And the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu being punished because he implied something derogatory against the Jewish people, we could find on Parshas Chukas. On Parshas Chukas, the Jewish people wanted to have water. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to talk to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, and because Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, it was decreed that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon should not go into the land of Israel. On Pasuk Yud Beis, the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe val Aharon, Hashem told to Moshe and Aharon, Yaan lo emantem bi lagdisheni le'enei bnei Yisrael, because you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, lochein, therefore, lo yisoviu es hakol hazeh, ela oretz asher nosati lohem, you should not bring this congregation to the land that I gave to them. Rashi explains what sanctification did they miss. Rashi says, she'ilu dibartem al hasela v'hoitzi, if you'd have spoken to the rock and the rock would have given out water, ha'isi mekudesh le'enei oeda, my name would have been sanctified in front of the congregation. V'omrim, and they would have said, ma sel hazeh, if a rock she'enu medaber, that doesn't speak, ve'enu shomeya, and can't hear, ve'en tzalech leparnasa, and doesn't need parnasa, doesn't need sustenance, still, mekayim diburei shel mokayim, does the will of Hashem, we, that we could speak, and we could hear what Hashem tells us, and we need Hashem for our sustenance, for sure we should do the will of Hashem. But the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, that message was lost, because the people will say that the rock only follows the will of Hashem if it's hit by a rod. The same thing, we should only follow the will of Hashem if we are hit by punishments. We missed a chance to sanctify Hashem's name. Sefer Pardas Yosef explains that this Kal V'Chomer is exactly the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu decided to hit the rock. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that the Jewish people shouldn't punish as harshly. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't hit the rock, then you have an example, a rock to show how you're supposed to serve Hashem. But let's say that the Jewish people sin subsequently, then the punishment is going to be much harsher. Because even a rock listens to Hashem, how come you, the Jew who sinned, did not listen to the word of Hashem? Meaning that the rock now stands as an act of criticism for the Jewish people. Because the rock is always the example of the proper way to serve Hashem, that just by Hashem telling us we should serve Him, and we go against the will of Hashem, for sure we are doubly guilty, because we should learn from the rock. Therefore, because Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the Jewish punishment, because he didn't hit the rock, is going to be harsher, Moshe Rabbeinu decided that he is going to hit the rock. By him hitting the rock, you can't take the example of the rock listening to Hashem, because the rock only listens to the word of Hashem if it's hit. The same thing, the Jewish person, if he makes a mistake and doesn't listen to the word of Hashem, then he is not as guilty. He doesn't get punished because he should have learned the lesson from the rock. He just gets punished for transgressing the word of Hashem, because the rock also only listened to Hashem after it was punished. Therefore, when Hashem punishes the person, then the person will listen to the word of Hashem. Comes out, according to Sefer Pardas Yosef, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock is to prevent future punishment for the Jewish people. That had he not hit the rock, the Jewish people would have been punished more harshly, because they should have learned the example from the rock. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, the Jewish people aren't punished as harshly, because they did not have the example of the rock. The question on this Pardas Yosef is that if Moshe Rabbeinu intended only for the benefit of the Jewish people, why did Hashem decide to punish him so harshly? Moshe Rabbeinu was totally unselfish, then Hashem shouldn't punish him as harshly. Why did Hashem decide to punish him this way? And the answer is the same answer that we gave for the spies. That by Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, true that the next time a Jew sinned, his punishment won't be as harsh, because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't speak to the rock and he hit the rock, and now we can't learn any lessons from the rock. But that assuming that the Jewish people will not learn the lesson of not sinning. Had Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to the rock, the impression and the message on the Jewish people that even the rock answers the will of Hashem and changes its nature to give water because Hashem spoke to it, for sure we, the Jewish people, would not go against the word of Hashem. And could be that had we seen such a strong message, we would have not sinned anymore. We would have never sinned after seeing what the rock does when Hashem speaks to it. Maybe the Jewish people will not sin once they see that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the rock and the rock listens to Hashem. Maybe the Jewish people will never sin again. Since a rock listens to Hashem, the Jewish people could have taken the lesson that we should never sin. But now that Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that we aren't going to learn the lesson of the rock and we are going to sin again, and that is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu decided to hit the rock instead of speaking to it, then Moshe Rabbeinu was implying that the Jewish people aren't going to take the lesson to heart. It is tantamount as Moshe Rabbeinu speaking Lashon Hara on the Jewish people that they are not going to listen to the word of Hashem, because he assumed that the Jewish people won't listen to the word of Hashem, Hashem told them that you don't deserve to go into Eretz Israel. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu's hitting the rock showed that Moshe Rabbeinu did not trust that the Jewish people are going to learn the lesson from the rock. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished that he shouldn't go into Eretz Israel. According to this, it is also very good what the Malbim says. The Malbim is bothered. How is it possible for such a small sin of hitting the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu should be punished that he shouldn't go into Eretz Israel? So the Malbim says that really the decree not to go into Eretz Israel was already done by the time of the Meraglim. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk in Devarim, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, there it says that Hashem became angry and Hashem promised, Im yira ish banoshe moela hadora ara azeh eisa ares hatoiva asher nishbati losas lavo seichem, that if any of the people of the spies or the people of that generation will see the good land that I promised to give to your forefathers. And two psukim later, says, Gam bi isanaf Hashem bilglachem, Hashem also became angry at me because of you. Leimor is saying, Gam ato, you too, loy tovoy sham, should not go in there. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that Hashem also told me that I won't go into Eretz Yisrael. The Malbim says that really that is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu should not go into Eretz Israel, but Hashem doesn't want to embarrass Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, Hashem waits till Moshe Rabbeinu does a sin and says that you should not go into Eretz Israel. But according to what we just mentioned, it ends up being that Moshe Rabbeinu does exactly what the Meraglim did. The sin of the Meraglim wasn't that they gave evil reports on Eretz Israel. The sin of the Meraglim, as we mentioned, was that they implied Lashon Hara on the Jewish people. They implied that the Jewish people are going to Eretz Israel and they're going to misbehave and they are going to have to work in the fields and not learn Torah. That's why they spoke evil reports on the land. But according to what we just mentioned, Moshe Rabbeinu also did the same thing. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, by heeding the rock, implied that the Jewish people aren't going to learn the lesson and they are going to sin again. And that implication that the Jewish people are going to misbehave, that is why both were punished. And therefore it fits very well that the Malbim associates the Meraglim to Moshe Rabbeinu, because according to what we mentioned, both of them are technically the same sin. And according to what we mentioning, that Hashem is very particular about somebody speaking Lashon Hara or even implying Lashon Hara on the Jewish people, could be that that is the reason why the Torah saw fit to write that Yaakov Avinu wanted to mention when the Ketz is, when the time of Mashiach is going to be, but yet Hashem did not want to let him, because then it would have been speaking Lashon Hara on the Jewish people, because it seemed to imply that the Jewish people aren't going to do tshuva, and that is not acceptable for Hashem. Therefore, Hashem took away the Shechina, and that lesson could only be attained if we see that Yaakov Avinu wanted to disclose the time of Mashiach, and Hashem prevented it. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should learn from this parsha the importance of not speaking, not even thinking Lashon Hara on a fellow Jew. And if we do that, then we'll have Shalom. And since Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal the time of Ketz, the time of Mashiach, and we know that we could accomplish through our good deeds, Achishenu, that Hashem should hasten, that Mashiach will come if we do tshuva and masim tovim and good deeds. So Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all repent and all do good deeds, then we'll merit to have Achishenu, that Hashem will hasten the coming of the Mashiach, and Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. Bimheiro b'yomeinu, amen.